A New Zealand-founded company which recycles pollution into products like biofuel and packaging is capturing the attention of several retail giants. LanzaTech's developed a microbe which can convert carbon into ethanol. We last spoke to co-founder Sean Simpson in 2014. Back then, it had just moved its headquarters to Chicago. Now it employs more than 500 people and operates several plants across China, India and Europe, with several more in the works. The technology has also since been fully commercialised, and several big-name companies like Zara, Lululemon and Adidas have used the recycled carbon emissions, or the captured carbon emissions, in their products. Sean Simpson, who's now strategic advisor to LanzaTech, is with us. Hi, Sean.
Hi, how's it going?
Really good, thanks. So it's been 10 years since we last caught up. Back then you were in the commercialisation phase and just about to move significant parts of the operation offshore. Originally we were talking about this clever microbe, or perhaps the clever people working with it, that could turn pollutants into ethanol, into energy. And I think you had a big China project on the go. Catch us up, Sean, on what's happened since.
Yeah, so at that time we were relocating the headquarters to Chicago, and we had a project in China demonstrating the viability of the process at a steel mill in China, taking emissions from that steel mill and converting those emissions to a sustainable fuel, ethanol. Since that time, so in 2018, that demonstration project turned into a full commercial project. And our first commercial plant in China produces 46,000 tons of sustainable ethanol from an emission from a Chinese steel mill. And since that first commercial plant, we've opened up several more plants around the world. And today, LanzaTech's process at various locations around the world produces in the order of 300,000 tons of sustainable ethanol from what were emissions and are now a sustainable feedstock, and in order to produce recycled ethanol fuel and chemical feedstocks.
How big has that part of the business got over time?
It's got massive and is still growing. I mean, we're very excited by the enthusiasm shown by industries for this kind of process, but perhaps even more excited by the enthusiasm that consumers have shown for products that are made by this carbon recycling process. And so the enthusiasm amongst consumers to buy products that, let's face it, start their life as a stream of pollution coming out of, in many cases, a steel mill, is really heartening.
Let's talk about the clothing aspect of this. Are we essentially talking about carbon capture? And a similar analogy for listeners might be when you have a wooden house, for example. You are talking about what, if used differently, would be emissions that instead is captured in materials we use. Am I on track or not, Sean?
Exactly that. I mean, what we're doing is taking a carbon molecule that's destined for our atmosphere to add to the greenhouse problem that we have where we're accumulating carbon dioxide in our atmosphere. So we're taking that carbon molecule and we're fixing it into a chemical, and that chemical can either be used directly as a fuel that can be burned in vehicles, or can be used as the basis for the production of materials or plastics or for products like perfume. And so we're very excited by the fact that consumers are told this and recognize this and are still excited to purchase this recycled carbon as part of their everyday goods.
Can you explain how it happens? Because, of course, carbon isn't everything, right? So it's when it becomes emissions released, say, through the burning of fossil fuels, that we have an issue with respect to climate change. So what are you capturing? What is the carbon emission that you are capturing in order to be used in materials like clothing? And where is it coming from?
Yeah, so we take various emission sources. So and we take emissions, for example, from the manufacture of steel or ferroalloy, or emissions from a refinery, or we can take gases that can be produced from rubbish, trash that's gathered together, or biomass. And that carbon can come either in the form of carbon monoxide or carbon dioxide. And everybody knows of carbon dioxide as the classic greenhouse gas, but carbon monoxide is also a greenhouse gas, and when it enters the atmosphere, it actually becomes carbon dioxide over time, and so contributes to the greenhouse problem. And we take the carbon in that molecule, and we have microbes that actually consider this carbon, this single source of carbon, as a source of food. And they eat it, and whilst they eat it, they divide, they increase in number, but they also produce a side product, and that side product, in our case initially, is ethanol, and of course we can recover this ethanol and use it as a source of fuels or chemicals. And what LanzaTech did was really industrialize the natural biology of this microbe to allow us to be able to feed it dedicated sources of emissions, and produce from those emissions a recycled carbon, a sustainable fuel.
What confuses me, and just help me out with that, is the likes of Zara, Lululemon, and Adidas, perfume companies also, who use chemicals as a feedstock for the product. And we're not talking here about putting out hay, perfectly wonderful thing to do. But when we're talking about clothing, how is that used? How is that chemical used?
Yeah, so if we look at the polyester fibers, for example, that are in many clothing forms around the world, that polyester is today essentially produced from oil. So polyester is a hydrocarbon molecule that is used widely in the clothing industry. And what we're doing is providing an alternative source of that polyester. And so we can make polyester out of the ethanol molecule that we produce. And that ethanol molecule can be an ingredient in the production of polyester fibers. And those polyester fibers are turned into material that's used in the clothing industry.
Right, so can they be used for carpets also, where the synthetic carpets also use?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely, it can be used for carpets, and so throughout the world, polyester is used, as you say, in various applications, and so this process can allow us to produce that polyester from recycled carbon emissions.
Is there any residual? If, for example, we've got a big wool campaign here in New Zealand at the moment, use woolen carpets, get away from the synthetic carpets and their fossil fuel origins. Are there remnants of emissions in any way in the synthetics produced using your product?
No, I mean, when we produce our product, we effectively only produce two things. We produce microbes and we produce ethanol, this chemical that can be used in fuels and as a feedstock for polyester, for example. Now, the microbes, they're protein. And actually, what we do with those is we separate them, and we can actually sell them as a protein source for animal nutritional formulations. So there's no waste as such. We're consuming this carbon, and we use all of the bits that we consume.
What are the prospects for airlines? This is the other, sometimes you wonder, false hope, but great hope that people have that ultimately we'll be able to get away from emissions from transport. I think airlines cumulatively are worth something like 2.5% of overall emissions, last time I recall seeing a figure. Where are we at in a credible biofuel for commercial airlines?
And I mean, so the first thing to say, I think, is there are numerous ways of producing sustainable aviation fuel. And LanzaTech, in the time between our departure from New Zealand and today, actually spun out a company which we imaginatively called LanzaJet. And that company has developed and is now commercializing a process to produce sustainable aviation fuel from ethanol, the very product that we produce in our process. Now, ethanol is also produced, it should be clear, is also produced from corn in the US, so corn ethanol, or sugarcane in Brazil, for example. So that's sugar ethanol. And so this company allows us to use that sustainable ethanol as a feedstock to make sustainable aviation fuel. And therefore, this sustainable aviation fuel today can displace fossil aviation fuel by 50%, according to today's regulation. The challenge, though, is we today don't produce nearly enough to displace 50% of aviation fuels. The volume being produced is quite low, but LanzaJet is working very hard to change that dynamic. Our first commercial plant started operation this year, was commissioned this year. That will produce around 37 million litres of aviation fuel. And whilst that sounds like a lot, unfortunately, it's a drop in the bucket compared to the total volume of aviation fuel used around the world, which sits at around 300 billion litres.
Have you got airlines investing in this?
We have. So we've got a lot of interest from airlines around the world. Just recently, we announced an investment from Southwest Airlines in the US, for example, in that very plant in the US producing fuel. And so we're very excited to actually start delivering fuel to these aviation customers in the very near future.
Sean, we're going to be looking again shortly at what's happening to science in New Zealand. Science funding is a big issue at the moment. And also this whole question of how to invest in startups, enable them to get to a certain size. You made the decision to substantially move offshore some years ago. What would be your observations about how New Zealand's doing in growing these innovative companies, supporting and growing them?
So, I mean, I think New Zealand is a place where there is a tremendous amount of really diverse innovation in the area that I'm interested in, which is called deep tech, and it really refers to real technologies that produce real outcomes. These aren't software technologies; these are technologies that are looking to develop brand new and disruptive industrial processes to make everything from new forms of milk to new ways of producing energy or new materials. And in New Zealand, we have all of these innovations occurring and taking place in startup companies. The situation today for funding in New Zealand is much better than it ever has been. I will say that the venture capital community in New Zealand is extremely strong. And I mean, I think pioneers in this space, such as Sir Stephen Tindall, have been joined by others who have become very active in the area of investing in startup companies. However, I would say that the challenge becomes in the growth of these companies domestically and how we fund their transition from an innovative idea and initial process to a truly commercial enterprise. And that's where I think there's still some challenge.
Thank you, Sean Simpson, founder of LanzaTech, co-founder of LanzaTech. He is its strategic advisor now.